the Satura twins did that. One would preach a little bit, and then they'd trade. The other twin would come up and preach. And so if I get a message from my wife that she needs me, I'm going to hand it off to one of you guys. Okay? All right, let's turn in 1 John chapter 5. So you're next in line. Okay, 1 John chapter 5. Amen. Amen. And Brother Barry, would you lead us in prayer, please, sir?
Dear Lord, thank you for the opportunity to be able to gather together in your house tonight, Lord. We thank you for your goodness and love to us. Lord, we ask that you would open our eyes to your word tonight. Please show each of us just what we need. Lord, each person probably needs something a little bit different. You are able to give us just that which meets our need. Lord, please draw us closer to yourself. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 7. 1 John 5, 7. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. Now, there are a lot of issues with the different multitude of Bible translations out there today, but a lot of the, most of the new ones in verse 7 will say something like, there are three that bear witness, or something to that effect. They don't have this entire verse in there. And this is the not the only verse, but this is the clearest and one verse showing the Trinity, that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are all God. And that's one reason we hold to the King James Bible, because it includes it in here. But there are a lot of skeptics that say, well, that verse should not be in there. So as we're closing out the study in 1 John, I wanted to cover this here. There are many other verses that prove this. If you hold your place here, let's check out a few of them here. John chapter 10. John chapter 10. There are many verses in Scripture that prove that Jesus is God. That's the point we're trying to make here. In John 10 and verse 29, my Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are what? One. Okay, so there's a verse there. Look in John chapter 14. John 14. And verse 6, John 14, 6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known who? My Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have what? Seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath what? Seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? So these verses are all showing us that Jesus and the Father are one. And that's a term we use called the Trinity. Well, what about the Holy Spirit? Well, let's look at one of those in Acts 5. Acts chapter 5. When Ananias and Sapphira lied to the church, Peter told them they had lied to God. And notice what he said, Acts 5 and verse 3. Acts 5, 3. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to who? The Holy Ghost. And to keep back part of the price of the land. Whiles it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto who? God. So verse 3, he told them, you lied to the Holy Ghost. In verse 4, he said, you lied to God. So the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are all God. So let's go back to 1 John 5. So we have these skeptics that say that the King James translators just put three quarters of this verse in there. They say they added it to the text. As I mentioned, many many or most modern translations omit this part of the verse, but the NIV, and there's two editions of the NIV now, but the one I looked at here said, for there are three that testify. So we're looking at 1 John 5:7. That's all the NIV says in that edition of it. For there are three that testify. It omits three quarters of the verse. The English Standard Version, which seems to be very popular now, the ESV, says, for there are three that testify. That's it. They leave off the rest of the verse. The New American Standard Bible, which a lot of people, especially in the so-called scholarly realm, they think that the New American Standard is the most scholarly. Well, what that says is, for there are three that testify. And they leave off three quarters of the verse. So what it says here is that for there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. We have a gospel tract that talks about broken swords. And, you know, sometimes people say, yes, but in all these other translations, you can look in some verses and it backs up the fact that Jesus is God. But the fact of the matter is, as you deal with the cults, and what you have is a broken sword, because you go to poke the cultists with 1 John 5:7, and if it's not in your Bible, well, there's no tip there to do the work, is there? That's a broken sword. It's broke off. The critics claim that three quarters of this verse is a what they call a spurious reading. If you look up the word spurious in Merriam-Webster's 11th Collegiate Dictionary, it says falsified or erroneously attributed origin, forged. Well, that's a serious accusation, isn't it? That this is a forgery, that this is a falsified verse. You know what that reminds me of? Look with me in Isaiah chapter 5. It reminds me a lot of what's going on in our country, and has for many years. But Isaiah chapter 5, it's kind of like the abortion issue. You know, those who are in favor of abortion call themselves pro-choice. Wow, that sounds like liberty, pro-choice. But really what they are is pro-murder. But they change terminology. But Isaiah 5:20 says this, woe unto them that call evil, what? Good. When you try to call abortion good, abortion is really evil. And when you call it good, and then it says, and good evil. And so we stand against abortion, and so what are we doing? Oh, well, what they say of us is we hate women. That's what they say. You're waging a war against women. That's literally what they say. How many women have been killed by people who are against abortion? I don't know of one. But I do know the people that are in favor of abortion are waging a war, and much blood has been spilt. So they are waging a war against innocent children. But woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. So that's what, when we go back to 1 John 5:7, to call this verse spurious, a spurious reading, when it is defending, and it's the clearest verse. We've seen many others. There are many other scriptures we could have gone to prove that Jesus is God, to prove the Trinity. But to say that this verse, the clearest verse just in one, and you'll find that in the scripture. There will be many times there's one very super clear passage dealing with a doctrine. There you'll find other passages, verses, dealing with it, backing it up, proving the doctrine as well. But oftentimes God has particular passages that just really clearly hit something right on the head. And that is this with the Trinity. So let me say, Why would Satan want to add this three quarters to this verse? Why would Satan want people to know that Jesus is God? He wouldn't. He would never want someone to forge three quarters of this verse to say what it says. That the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost are one. He would not want that. But he would want people to not know that. And so it's very clear. So in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1, 1 John 4, 1. Beloved, believe not what? Every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is what? Come in the flesh is of what? God. See, Satan doesn't want people to know that. Verse 3, and every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is what? Not of God. You see, Satan would not want that three quarters of that verse in there. He does not want people to know that Jesus is God in the flesh. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. So, and if you go back, you know, these critics say, well, but 1 John 5, 7, that part of the verse isn't in all these certain manuscripts. Early church leaders made many references to 1 John 5, 7. The three quarters of the verse we're dealing with. Tertullian did in 200 A.D. Cyprian of Carthage did in 250 A.D. Athanasius did in 350 A.D. There were many church fathers that were making reference to this verse. And so, you know, you can pick up a book and start reading it about 1 John 5, 7, and you may think, oh, wow, there's nothing to back up this verse. Well, that is not true. There is much to back up this verse being in here. So let's look at the rest of the passage here then. So in 1 John 5, and let's back up to verse 4 now, 1 John 5, 4. The Bible says, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even what? Our faith. So it begins with here, being born of God, verse 4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. People must be born again. Born again. That's how we get saved. Well, okay, we need to be born again. How do we get born again? How do we get saved? Verse 4, once again, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world. So here's the answer. Even what? Our faith. So we are saved by faith. Faith in Jesus Christ. And that's what verse 5 goes to tell us then. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that what? Believeth that Jesus is who? The Son of God. So these verses build one upon another. Verse 4 tells us we need to be born of God. How? Through faith. Then verse 5, faith in who? In Jesus, the Son of God. And then in verse 6, so these truths are laid down for the foundation. And then verse 6 says, this is he that came by water and what? Blood. Even who? Jesus Christ. Not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. Okay, here's another verse where people will, if they have the wrong belief, will jump off. See, it's baptism. It's baptism and Jesus' blood. It says water and the blood. So we need to hold our place here and look in John chapter 3. We need to remind ourselves of what this terminology means when it refers to water. In this sense, John chapter 3, and verse 5. John 3, 5. Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, Except a man be born of what? Water and of what? The Spirit. He cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Okay. This would be a real problem for us trying to say baptism doesn't save us if it were not for the next verse. It goes on in verse 6 to say, that which is born of what? The flesh is what? Flesh. And that which is born of the Spirit is what? Spirit. So if you back up and look at verse 5, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, verse 6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So the Bible here is talking about our fleshly birth. We're born in a sack of water. That's what it's referring to. Verse 7, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. So we must be born physically, and then we must be born spiritually if we're going to go to heaven. So it requires that new birth, that second birth. So hold your place here and go back then to 1 John 5, 6. 1 John 5, 6. And let's read that again. This is he that came by what? Water and blood. Even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. It is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. When you compare John chapter 3 and 1 John chapter 5, this water here is talking about the physical birth. So it's talking about Jesus. He came not by water only. He came not by that physical birth only, but it says, and blood. Now that's interesting. If you keep your place in 1 John 5, but let's go to Leviticus 17. Why does it say that Jesus came not only by water, but by blood? What is the significance of that? In Grand Rapids many years ago, there was a physician. His name was Martin DeHaan. And he was a physician that also became a preacher and started a Calvary church down on, I believe it started on Michigan Street near Butterworth Hospital, but it ended up moving later on. But so he was a physician preacher, and he wrote a book called The Chemistry of the Blood, and you can probably still find it in print somewhere yet today, but The Chemistry of the Blood. And so he has a good explanation of this, but I want to read this verse here. Leviticus 17:11 says, for the life of the flesh is in what? The blood. And I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is what? The blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. Now, why is that? Why is it that the blood makes an atonement for the soul? Well, if you hold your place there, let's go to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. And verse 23, Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is what? Death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So the wages of sin is death. So then if you go back to Leviticus 17:11, for the life of the flesh is in the blood. The wages of sin is death. That's why it requires blood. The life of the flesh is in the blood. So, you know, man has come up with many marvelous things, medically speaking. But guess what? They still ask for what? Blood. They still ask for blood donations. The life of the flesh is in the blood. That's God's secret. Oh, I know they can give you things in an IV, but if you're low on blood, you need blood. They don't have a substitute for that. Other people have to donate. So the life of the flesh is in the blood. So M.R. DeHaan really goes into this good, but let's well, actually, before we go back to 1 John 5, then let's go to Luke 1. Luke chapter 1. So when a baby is conceived, where and how does the blood enter the factor? Luke 1:34. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? An angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. So it's, and you can read the book there by M.R. DeHaan, but when the male seed brings conception there, that the bloodline comes from the man. And I'm not talking about the blood type. You can read the book, but that's the part of conception comes through the man. So this is very interesting here in 1 John chapter 5. But so with Mary, she's asking, how's this going to be? I am pure. I have known no man. And so she's told that the Holy Ghost is going to come upon her. Now remember, Jesus' blood is pure. If Jesus' blood came from Mary, then Jesus would have had blood just like us with a sin nature. His blood had to be holy. So as we go back in 1 John chapter 5, you can read the book, The Chemistry of the Blood by M.R. DeHaan. 1 John 5 and verse 6. This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. It's telling us Jesus didn't just come through in a fleshly body. This holy blood came through the Holy Ghost by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. So Satan would have never wanted 1 John 5:7 introduced into this text. The record is clear. So the blood, Jesus' blood, had to be absolutely pure. There could be no sin nature passed down to Jesus. And so through this miraculous conception, his blood was not human-tainted blood. Then 1 John 5, verse 11. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. So the true record is clear. And once again, going back to verse 6, this is he that came by water and blood. And as we think about that, let's go back to Isaiah 9 and verse 6. Jesus came in a real human body of flesh. But the eternal Son is given from heaven. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. So the child is born, but the Son is given from heaven. Mary is the mother of Jesus' earthly body, but Mary is not the mother of God. Why? Is Jesus God? Yes. But the eternal Son was given from heaven. So the life was given from heaven, the eternal Son. She's not the mother of of the eternal Son of God. She's the mother of that body, and only that body. So the record about Jesus is clear. But what about us? Look with me in Revelation 20, verse 15. Revelation 20, 15. The Bible says, and whosoever was not found what? Written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So what about the record of us? What about the record of all those around us? The record of Jesus is clear. He came by water and by blood. He came in the flesh and as the eternal Son of God. His record is clear. What about our record? And as far as these scoffers who scoff at this verse, let's go to the book of John once again, the last chapter, John 21. John chapter 21. And actually, before we read that, let's go to chapter 20 and verse 30. John 20, verse 30. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written, that ye might believe that Jesus is who? The Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. And then in the last verse of the book, in John 21, 25. Actually, let's start in verse 24. 21, 24. This is the disciple which testifieth of these things and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. So, once again, back to 20:31. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. He came by water and by blood. And we need to be born again of him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Father, we thank you for the blood. We thank you that Jesus was born of a miraculous conception. And so he did not have the blood of any earthly man. His was holy, without sin, because it was a holy, supernatural conception. Father, I pray that you would help us. Lord, I pray if there should be any here tonight that have never been born of God, that have never had a time in their life when they've realized that they were a sinner and needed to receive the Savior, help them to make that decision tonight. And I pray that you would help us, Lord, as Christians. Father, please help us to see people as souls. Lord, please help us to have compassion upon them and to care about them enough to try to get the gospel to them. And I pray, Lord, that you would bless our witness. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.